I don't wanna be afraid every time I face the waves. I don't wanna be afraid. I don't wanna be afraid. And I don't wanna fear the storm just because I hear it roar. I don't wanna fear the storm. I don't wanna fear the storm. Gonna be afraid, 'cause these waves are only waves. I'm not gonna be afraid. No, I'm not gonna be afraid. And I'm not gonna fear the storm. You are greater than its roar. Oh, I'm not gonna fear the storm. No, I'm not gonna fear it all. You speak peace, oh.
Kia ora. Welcome to Faith Matters. You're listening to Marie, and that was Peace Be Still. What a beautiful way to start the show. I've got Denise in here with me, and it's so good to be back in here. I missed last week. I was a bit unwell, but hey, I'm back firing away. So we're going to get into some conversations, and I've got you on, Denise. Say hello.
Hi.
We're going to talk some things. I've got a bit of a heading. Who is Jesus anyway? So I thought we might dive into that a little bit. How do you feel about that, Denise?
Nothing like a challenge.
Yeah, so we've got a bit of a challenge ahead of us. So you might want to tune in. I've got Invincible Eddie Vedder up next. We'll tune in after this one.
Ah!
we're invincible when we love. Isn't that a nice way to start the show? So who is Jesus anyway? Good question. One we're going to try and dive into, Denise. When I did my studies, when I did my Bachelor of Counselling, I did it at Vision College, which I really had a word from God to do my Bachelor of Counselling and to go to that particular college to do it. It was a Christian college. And one of my tutors had a picture of Jesus on his door, and it was a picture of the laughing Jesus. I've never seen a photograph of Jesus, or photograph, no, it wasn't a photograph. I'm going to put you on, Denise. Yeah, there we go. It wasn't a photograph. I've never seen a drawn picture of Jesus laughing. You know, his head's back and he's absolutely in full laughter. And I think that's a really nice picture to have, because often we have a picture of Jesus as being, maybe tell me, Denise, what some of the pictures we might have of Jesus.
You sort of think of like Jesus dying on the cross, and so in Isaiah it talks about him being a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and so we kind of think of all those aspects of him. But also, I guess he spent a lot of time sort of in prayer, so you sort of think of him as contemplative. But there's also verses that speak about for the joy set before him, he went through all this stuff. So actually, there was a sense of joy in him, and but it is a part that we don't see very often. And when you think of actually the fruit of the Spirit, you've got love, joy, peace. Mm. So these were things that were a part of him that we don't necessarily notice when we read. Because we're just reading, it takes us 5 minutes to read what might have covered a few years' worth of life. And so we don't see all the detail yet.
Yeah.
Actually, it is in there.
Yeah, I think it had that picture had quite an impact on me, because, as humans we have a sense of humour, and Jesus, he was human. He lived a human life for 33 years, and was it 33?
Yeah,
right? Well done. And as a human being, we know that we have all these different parts of our personality, and laughter is such a healthy thing to do. I know as a counsellor what that sets off in our body when we laugh and we have a sense of joy in us. And in a world that can be really harsh and have really sharp edges to it, laughter is something that we want to kind of hold dearly. So seeing this picture back in my studies, it gave me a refreshing look at Jesus, and the picture alone helped me to think about Jesus in a way that he had a sense of humour, and that really resonated with me, because I've got a kind of a weird sense of humour, but I love that. I love laughter, and I like the fact that how it makes us feel, and how it can dissipate awkwardness, or it can dissipate where there's those hard edges, is all I can kind of come up with, where there's gnarly ground, a sense of humour that isn't arrogant or isn't coming from a place of hurtfulness, because we can use humour in different ways, but a genuine joy or a genuine laughter is, to be around that, you can't help but be engaged with it. And so I think, the laughing Jesus is a way that we can engage with part of who he is and resonate with that in a way that sometimes we take things a bit too seriously, like we can laugh and we can have joy and we can have fun.
Sure. It's interesting that you're talking about that actually being a picture that you saw that sparked some thoughts. And you were talking to me earlier today about another picture that you saw of Jesus that's really impacted you. Do you want to talk a bit more about that?
Yeah, so that was, you're talking about the four-year-old that I showed you. Yeah, so I was going, just looking at what I was just looking at Google, bringing up things about Jesus, actually. And this picture came up, and it's a painting of Jesus. It was done by an 8-year-old. It's a famous painting out there, and She had, you know, a couple of weeks back I shared a story of my first encounter with God, and as a four-year-old. And so her story is about her first encounter with God as a four-year-old.
Right.
And she came from a family who didn't know God, had no input, spiritual input whatsoever. So there was no indicators there for her to where she who was hearing the word God or Jesus or anything like that. And yeah, so I thought, did you want to read something out of that? Did you find something to read, or do we just want to kind of like, because this girl had an encounter with God at four, and then I think it around and so she was always talking about God. She was talking about her experience with him and how she felt around him. Mm. And then at around, I think, she started writing poetry around six, lots of poetry, which resonated with me. That happened also to me, lots of poetry around God and around, you know, just would come out of me and I would write it down, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. And then for her, though, lucky her, at eight, she got a visitation. She said to God, you know, if you basically she felt this compelling desire to draw Jesus, even though she didn't know who she didn't know who he was. And basically she was needing some sort of reference to go off.
Mm.
And somebody came to the door that day who was a carpenter, and she felt that was the shape of his face was what she would use in her painting of Jesus.
So painting's called Prince of Peace.
Mm.
If you're thinking, oh, I wonder what that actually looks like.
Yes, so definitely look that up. Is there anything in there that I have probably
no,
not
I was
covered?
Just yeah, it was just talking about how she created a sketch in under an hour when that guy turned up on
the
doorstep.
She's 8. She's 8 years old.
And from that, she completed a 3-foot by 4-foot portrait that was bigger than her in under 40 hours.
Mm.
And she talks about how she wanted to capture, she's got his eyes looking sort of out a little bit like the Mona Lisa, like looking at you, because she wanted people to actually engage with what she felt when she saw him. And it says that at the gallery where it hangs, there are boxes of tissues for all the visitors because they're often overcome with emotion. And she said she saw it come up for sale and she hadn't seen it for years, and she looked at it and went, yeah, the presence of God is still with this painting that she'd painted years ago.
Yeah. As an 8-year-old girl with no former training, no real understanding of what she was doing. So, you know, who is Jesus anyway?
Hmm. We're going to go into a song, if I can find it. And we'll be back soon. So this is Dare You to Move.
Welcome to the planet. Welcome to existence. Everyone's here. Everyone's here. Everybody's watching you now. Everybody waits. What happens next? What happens next? I dare you to move. Welcome to the fallout. Welcome to resistance.
Idea to move. There we go. It's a good one, isn't it? I love that. Okay, so who was Jesus anyway, Denise?
So we were just saying about how this picture that this girl had painted was called Prince of Peace. And so we're thinking about some of the names of Jesus. And if you were listening last week, you might have heard me talk about an amazing encounter that a Māori man had, Toiroa was his name, 3 years before James Cook actually landed here in New Zealand. And this man had pictures of these people who would be coming to their shores with their different types of dress. So he wove a basket and put the basket on his head to try and explain that these new people who would be coming to New Zealand or Aotearoa, that they would have hats on their head, and he cut a cape and he wrapped it around him to show what trousers would look like, and he made out of stone and wood, tried to make a model of a ship with pipes to explain these people are coming on these, you know, they're not paddling their boats, they've got the smoke coming out of these pipes. And part of that, he had the name of their God will be Son who was killed. He is a good God, and the people will still be oppressed. And so he had this name, Son who was killed. And the thing that just occurred to me at the very end of last week's session, I don't know if you were able to listen in or not, but the concept of when we talk about Jesus, we talk about him as Son of God, because to us that's like, wow, that's really out there. And yet when Jesus referred to himself, through, I think it's the book of John, he talks about himself as the Son of Man, because for him, having been eternal, been around for a while, it was really unique and special for him to be Son of Man.
Wow.
And so he is fully God and he is fully man. So who is Jesus anyway? So yes, Jesus is unique in that he is sinless and he is God's son, but he was also fully human. Mm. So, yeah.
I loved how you talked about, you know, the stories, because stories, you know, from our historical stories are where we actually get our information from. These are first-hand events or examples of what was going on in that time. And, you know, the Bible is full of stories, you know, the Old Testament and the New Testament, but the Old Testament really does give us some history around our past and how we were as people and how we treated each other. And stories are, where we get our information from, but it's our history. And I can't really say it enough, you know, we have ways of looking back into the past and digging up things and going, well, this is our history. But actually, our history is in our stories. Mm. These are live examples and what really happened, written down for us, you know, 3,000 years later, to unpack and look at and discover new things.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I find about, you know, the Bible, basic instruction before leaving Earth, is the power of the word and how something that was written so long ago is alive and active and still active, like active. Mm. The word is active, you know, because we can speak words,
yes,
Denise, but they're not active words.
Mm.
They don't do anything. They're just language out there flipping around in the ethros somewhere, not having an impact.
Mm.
But actually, these words have an impact. They change lives. And how can I know that? Because it changed mine.
Yes.
You know, without those words, I wouldn't know the things that I know about myself, for one, and how to negotiate life in a way that's not going to kill me in an instant, because I'm going to make wrong choices and do wrong things and probably have an attitude that's really not cool, you know, because our ego is big as human beings, you know.
Yeah.
But the spirit is something different, Denise. So tell me about the spirit.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I know, sorry. You didn't ask me that one.
Well, Jesus talked to his followers and said, you know, I'm going to go away, and it's a good thing that I go away because I can give you my spirit, the spirit of truth.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about how the spirit of truth would give them wise counsel and would teach them. And so that's when we talk about, you know, God living in us. That's God's spirit, and Jesus says it's my spirit. So Jesus is spirit. It's my goodness, trying to understand this.
It's amazing.
God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, they are one. Yet Jesus had, you know, he has given us his spirit. That's when you sort of say, you know, I ask Jesus into my heart or whatever. Mm. That's a Christian-y kind of term. But when we talk about God's spirit speaking to us, it is the spirit of Jesus. And Jesus talks about, I am the way. No one comes to the Father but through me. So Jesus is the way to the Father. So it's not one aspect of God running off on its own, in its own direction. The Holy Spirit's not something to be scared of. It's the spirit of Jesus. And the whole thing is to bring us back into relationship with God the Father.
Yeah.
So.
And I think, you know, thinking about that, in the world that we live in, you know, we don't often think about our spirit. You know, we think about our body, but we don't think about our spirit.
Mm.
And we're quite disconnected from actually what God's given us. And to unpack that one might be a whole new session. I don't think that's in this session, but we will unpack it at some stage. But today we're looking at, you know, who is Jesus anyway? And, we, you know, we've looked at, you know, his personality. He's got a sense of humour. You know, he was real. He walked this earth and had a real impact. And we looked at the history of our stories, the stories that come through, you know, right from Jesus' time, and they are, I can't think of the word properly, you know, they're the ones that connect us to our past.
Right.
They bring the connection to what happened back then. It's not something we've dug out of the ground.
Generational things.
Yeah, it's not something we've got to put in a machine to see how old it is. These stories are encounters with real people, you know, and Jesus was a real person, and these people wrote about real things. So, you know, there's a lot to unpack there, but we're gonna head into another song and, carry on our conversations.
Look at the birds, how free they fly. Look at the lilies growing so wild. No, they don't wonder if rain's gonna fall down, or if the sun will ever come on out. So I won't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's gonna worry about itself. I got about a million reasons to praise you. I got about a million stories to tell. To tell about how you always made a way through. I may not know where we're going, but I know that it's gonna be good.
Yeah. want your symphony, singing all that I am. At the top of my lungs, I'm moving back. Can I lay my head back down? And I
listening to Marie and Denise on Faith Matters 98.1 FM, Raglan Community Radio. It's so good to have you with us. So who is Jesus anyway? Yeah, that's our question today, and we've been unpacking that a little bit and probably will many times over the show. So we've been talking about, well, where we ended on our last bit was talking about the stories of the Bible and how they connect us, how they connect today, and how they're relevant and how they're alive and active. But let's go a little bit further into who is Jesus anyway, Denise? Where are we going now?
So you think about, there are people who talk about Jesus, and they talk about him being a good man or a prophet, or they think he taught some really good stuff.
Hmm.
And so I think it was C.S. Lewis that talked about Jesus, that some of the things he said, I mean, he said that God is his father, and he spoke about the things he talked about once he had died and he'd risen from the dead, he'd been given eternal life, or he'd restored eternal life for us. He spoke about how all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. He's taken back all authority. And he made some pretty outrageous statements that actually the religious leaders of the day were pretty mad about, to the point of killing him, to be fair.
Mm.
But it's kind of like, can you read what Jesus spoke about and go, yes, he taught some really good stuff, like love your neighbour and all these wonderful things, but can you take some of what he said as true and not other parts?
Yeah.
And so C.S. Lewis sort of talked about that and said he's either a liar, saying, you know, some things that are truthful and some things that are not, or he's absolutely bat crazy, so liar or lunatic, which, you know, people might land on that as an alternative. But if you go, actually, this was a good man and he had good teachings, and you choose to actually take on all that he said he was, that he was the Son of Man, that he was the Son of God, that he had come to earth for a purpose, that there is a kingdom of God that is near to us, that he is the access into that kingdom. All of these things, he talked about being the gate, he talked about being the way, the life, the truth. Yeah, all of these things, if you actually take all of what he said on board, then is he Lord? Is he Lord over all creation? He said he has all authority in heaven and on earth. Is he Lord of our own lives? Like, have we gone, actually, okay, yes, I pledge allegiance to you over and above other things. So it's just an interesting thought. Who is Jesus? Well, is who do you, well, I guess I ended last week with, who do you say he is? Like, to you, is he a liar? Is he crazy? Or is he Lord? And those are pretty much the options you've got to land on, one of those, to make any sense of who he was and who he said he was and his words.
Yeah, and I think, you know, on the journey of, especially my journey, I've come across many conversations about who people think Jesus is and their opinions about him. Yeah, but I think what it comes down to, Denise, well, has certainly for me, is all about relationship. Without that connection, my own personal connection, I'm only just taking information from other people. And when we take information from other people, we can become quite judgy in how we receive that information because we're informed by our worldview and our experiences growing up. And so, you know, when somebody tells us about somebody who lived, you know, over 3,000 years ago who loves us and would do anything for us and we're suffering in the moment, it's a hard thing to take on. We're like, well, you know, who is he and how does that even fit in my life? Like, what are you even talking about? Mm. So without relationship, and relationship comes from spending time with and wanting to get to know, you know. I mean, I was fortunate as a four-year-old to have that experience as a young girl of God, you know, and I later had an experience of Jesus, which I didn't know that was Jesus at the time, but a bit like this girl with the painting, you know, all through my earlier years, right up to about, you know, eight or nine, I was having massive experiences of this person. But not really seeing them as massive experiences, just really normal and natural.
Yes.
And just part of my life that was really nice.
Yeah.
It was about building relationship and trust and kind of really familiar with who I was communicating with, you know. For me, relationship is key to knowing who is Jesus anyway.
Yeah, and that's where his spirit comes in because it's through his spirit that we have connection with him.
Yes.
So, you know, if people kind of are a little bit, it's a bit freaky, actually, no, you know, a simple prayer, God's listening. And
it's connection, and it connects. I mean, if you haven't connected to your spirit, you don't know what it feels like.
Yes.
You know, and so I'm talking out of connection. There have been times in my life when I felt I wasn't connected, where I absolutely shut God out of my life. You know, absolutely shut him out.
It is so possible to do
that. It is so possible. We have freedom of choice. We can do what we want.
Yeah.
And he's not a God that comes in and dominates and says, well, you know, too late, I'm here. You know, if we don't want him, he ain't there. You know? And I know what it's like to not have that presence, that warmth, that wisdom, or that just kind of like a gentle guiding of knowing what's right, the right thing to do, what's healthy, what's good, what's going to produce life and not death, you know. So for me, that relationship was extremely important, the foundations of knowing who is Jesus anyway.
And sometimes it takes a bit of time to get confident with that. Like, I can remember I went to a meeting once and I wanted to go to support somebody and I organised a babysitter and all those things so that I could go to this meeting, and I just had this really strong sense that I shouldn't go. But I was like, I've got to go. I've organised a babysitter. So I went to this meeting and it was a horrible place. I was like, oh, it was so negative. It was just an awful atmosphere. And I just knew that I shouldn't have been there, and yet I'd gone anyway. And so it's like sometimes like that, I went, oh, that feeling, that strong sense of no, I shouldn't be there, was actually, I would now describe it as the Holy Spirit prompting me, saying, actually, just don't go. It's not a place for you.
Yeah.
So now if I get that sense, then I'm like, ah, okay, been here before. Now I'm actually going to take notice of that sense and I'm going to go with it. But sometimes you make mistakes on the way of learning and growing and you're like, what?
Well, that was all me.
Yeah.
And that's okay, because we're human and we're the only way we're going to learn is by making mistakes. You know, I think we have this picture of Christians as never making mistakes or being perfect or this. Like, it's just the concept is wrong and the way we look at it is wrong. It was never intended that way. I think it is the great divide between us.
Yes.
All Christian, you know, it means a follower of Christ, means a follower of Jesus.
Mm.
And but basically it's the hardest thing to do because it's a development of self.
Yeah.
And self doesn't really want to be developed in a way that is healthy for us. Often we want to go with ego. And ego is not a bad thing, but if we feed it in a way that it is driven towards the things that are going to satisfy, you know, our individual self.
Mm.
That can lead us down tracks that are very greedy and self-centered and
destructive.
It's all about me.
Yeah,
well, it's just about me, baby.
Again, thinking back to that phrase from last week about their God will be called Son Who Was Killed. He is a good God, but the people will still be oppressed.
Mm.
Like,
we
as people make mistakes and we do dumb stuff, and actually sometimes we're destructive and awful, but that doesn't mean that God is all those
things.
That's
right. And if the connection and we connect into his will and who he knows who we are, you know, and once we get a picture of that, then a lot of the stuff that we've been drawn to that is destructive just doesn't make sense anymore. You can kind of see it for what it is. And it's not as though you come out of everything perfect.
Mm.
It just means you're developing as a human being. And actually, you kind of probably like yourself a bit more because you've done some of the hard work on yourself rather than being the hard edge for everyone else.
Mm.
You know, you kind of smooth it off so you're a bit more engaging and able to share your life with somebody else. And a lot of that is about community, Denise, which I'm passionate about. So we're going to head into the next one, and who knows what's going to come after that. Where are we going to go to? Oh, should we do that one, Denise?
Sure.
Now that you're a blessing, there's no other like you. Now that you were made for much more, don't let this world tell you who you are.
I thank the Lord because I'm breathing today. Enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise for those of you in the pit who are struggling deep within all the challenges of life, the daily trials and the tribulations. Just know behind the scenes, you know my God is working. You might only see the pain, but there's something greater in the making. All things work together for his good. Understood, understand that life has purpose. There's meaning to the way that you are, greater than stars. Your heart was meant to be soft. You every mark set apart. Ignite a spark, light it up, shine your light on the darkest places, saddest faces. Hey, we miss the mark every day, but there's something called grace that's giving us a way. We miss the mark every day, but there's something called grace that's giving us a way. So,
now that you're a blessing, there's no other like you. Now that you were made for much more.
Life can get you down, but I know who can save us. You're a light for all to see. Today is a new day. You're not in this alone. Help is on the way. Reach out, don't be afraid. Speak out, don't run away. I know that when we pray, he is faithful. There's no mistake. Know that you're a blessing, in Jesus you're a blessing.
Know that you're a blessing, there's no other like you. Know that you were made for much more, don't let this world tell you who you are. Know that you're a blessing, cause there's no other like you. Know that you were made for a purpose, to solve for his glory.
Just know there's no one like you.
Made for much more. Don't let this world tell you who you are.
brokenhearted tears, forever kind of rain. Alone with all my fears, can't escape the pain. Tired of holding on, I'm running out of faith. Lord, I try, I try, try, I try. But I know something is coming in the morning. If I can make it through the night, whatever comes, hey Lord, hi, water. I know it's on the other side. I know it's on the other side. Kayla called my phone, said he passed away. Hard to help a friend when you don't know what to say. All the questions and she still chose to pray. So I'll try, I'll try, try, I'll try. 'Cause I know something.
I'm found, even if my heart will somehow say. fight to bring you praise. From way back when we were younger, like the first late night we tried to be a couple of snakes. Every now and then I think back to when we were brothers, and if all that we made was better than what I have, tell me, do you feel the same or void? Sometimes,
there we are. Cover Me in Sunshine. That's a nice one for today. And there is a bit of sunshine out there. But who is Jesus anyway, Denise? Hey? Let's keep going on that one.
Oh, man. Well, I was just thinking with what you were talking about before, with our stories and with our history and with our spirits connecting with God's spirit. And actually I thought of there's King David in the Bible, and if you look at what he did some pretty outrageous things. You know, if we were looking at him now, we'd go, oh my goodness. So he ended up sleeping with a woman. He saw her off the roof of his palace, and he called her in and he slept with her, and then he tried to cover it up.
Wanted to, eh? Just because he wanted to, because he was a king and he could, right? Because he was king.
And so he...
Ego.
He did, but then she became pregnant, and so he called her husband back and tried to trick her husband into going home, and her husband absolutely refused. He's like, I can't go home when all of the army's out in the fields. Like, there's absolutely no way.
And he stayed in the palace, didn't he? Because he didn't want to leave the king. He was so loyal, was the word. Oh, this is bad.
Yeah, and so David got him drunk and tried to send him home.
There we
and
go. Good old King David, got you drunk.
Even when he tried to do that, he couldn't get this guy to go home. And so
heartbreaking.
Actually, he sent him back to the battle, and he sent him with a note to give to the commander, and the note said, hey, put this guy at the front lines. And so the commander did, and he put him right up close to the wall of the city that they were attacking, and the guy died. And so when the messenger came back to the king to say, hey, we did this, you know, we've had this battle and we lost some really good guys. And the king was angry. He's like, what on earth did you do that for? But the commander said, and when you tell him that, say to him that Uriah the Hittite has died. And David, when he heard that part, he's like, oh, okay. So it was this awful battle that didn't need to take place. And it was actually all for David's ego, trying to cover up stuff. And you kind of think, looking in on that, you go, oh my goodness, what on earth was this guy, you know, what's his heart?
What was he thinking? He had all these men at his fingertips.
Yeah.
He had a whole nation.
Yeah.
You know, he was king over it all. He could have and do whatever he wanted, but he wanted something that wasn't his, Denise. Mm.
So there was a prophet of the time, his name was Nathan, and he came in to see David, and he told David a story. He didn't confront him directly, but he said, you know, there was this, I think there was this woman who had this lamb, and somebody came, the rich man came, and instead of taking his own lamb to be killed, he came and took this woman's lone lamb. And the injustice of it, David rose up and said, that's terrible! And Nathan the prophet turned to him and said, you are that man. And when he realised...
To David, you mean?
Yeah, so he said that to the king, said that to David. And when David realised the injustice of what he had done, he absolutely fell down on his face before God, and he's like, God, I'm so sorry. And it's so interesting because God describes David, that same man that we would look at what he did, adultery and murder and all this stuff, and we'd go, oh, he was so bad. But God calls him a man after his own heart because when he realised, he turned to God wholeheartedly.
Yeah, and I'm just going to stop you there because the history of David, when you said he is a man after God's own heart, the history of David, he had relationship as a young boy with God, didn't he?
Yes, he used to be out looking after the sheep.
There we go.
And he used to play the harp, and he would sit out there and
worship. He would do the slingshot too. He was good at looking after the sheep, and they had that was one of the ways they did that. Used the slingshot to get the wolves so it didn't, this David wasn't just David, King David. David knew God right from a little boy. He was the youngest in his family too, and he was the one that probably wasn't seen to be the one that would be the God person.
Yeah.
He was the least. Yes. He was the forgotten one, the youngest, they are. Well, they're not forgotten, but often I'm the youngest, so I know what it's like when everyone else kind of like gets in trouble before you.
Yeah, that's great. Actually, I'm also the youngest.
So you get forgotten a little bit. Hide. Like, oh, yeah, hide, just hide, like run and hide, that's it. Get out of the way. But, you know, David, you know, had that relationship as a young boy.
Yeah.
And I just want to keep coming back to that. You know, we have the opportunity of relationship with the Creator.
Mm.
And often as young people, that is the time that we get that connection, I think, because we're still soft and open and not closed off. The world hasn't affected us so much that we don't feel anything anymore, or we're not connected to our spirit, the very thing that connects us to God. You know, and so David had that relationship. So even though he had that relationship, and I get this because this is me, you know, he still did some really bad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, having relationship does not make us perfect.
Yeah.
We don't become this word of sinless. Mm. You know, I think we've just become more awareness around those things that really break God's heart. That hurts humanity, hurts us at the very core of who we are as human beings. And so, yeah, David is a great example of our humanness and yet our godliness.
Mm. Yeah. Challenging to hold both of those things in tension with each other.
Well, they are, because part of, that's about us being human and making decisions that are based on our passions and our desires and what I want.
Mm.
I want this, you know, and I can have it, so I will take it. You know, compared to actually how many other people were involved in that decision that David made and the impact of that, that took out a generation. Pretty much, because that was a husband and wife, no children. No children got born, so that whole generation was wiped out because, you know, of what David did. Those kids
that
never
man
got
had
to be
no legacy.
No legacy. No one to carry on his name. You know, but David got a legacy.
He sure did.
He sure did, but there were some consequences to that too.
Yeah.
And what happened. But I think, you know, knowing God or knowing the Word of God, you know, the going back to what I was talking about, the word being active and alive and active. And, you know, that's what the Bible is for us. These stories that are in there, when we unpack them and we realise the humanness of these stories, that these were steps taken by human beings who lived and walked out their mistakes. Yeah. In front of us all to see and learn from.
Yeah.
So I think that's basic instruction before leaving Earth, Denise. We're just going to head into another song. What are we going to go? We're going to go to Miracles by Colton Dixon.
Nine miles on the highway. Every day moving so fast, taking all the wrong ways out. Never saw you coming, stopping me in my tracks, keeping me from the long way down. Doesn't matter just how many times I try, there could only be a single reason why. So tell me. Stars align, but I know that it's more than timing. I don't hear it goes, just happen like that, happen like that, happen like that. Right before I hit the ground, son, how you came along and found me. Right before I hit the ground, son, how you came along and found me. Some will say it's magic, but I know that you did all that. You're the reason, there's no doubt. Doesn't matter just how many times I try, there could only be a single reason why. So tell me. I don't hear it goes, just happen like that, happen like that, happen like that. You can see the stars align, but
more than timing. I don't even go, just happen like that, happen like that, happen like that. Right before I hit the ground, so how you came along and found me. You can see the stars align, but I know that it's more than timing. Right before I hit the ground, so how you came along and found me.
Hey, you're listening to Marie and Denise on Faith Matters 98.1 FM Raglan Community Radio. And if you ever want to listen back to the podcast, you can find it on the Raglan Radio website under Faith Matters. All our shows are live. But
yes,
they are recorded, and I do not go through and edit. So what you get is what you get. Yeah, that's a good thing. So, Denise, who is Jesus anyway? Look, we've been looking at who Jesus is today, and it's been really good unpacking. We've looked at some of the stories in the Bible and God's Word being active and alive even today. And we've looked at God being present in our lives, even when we didn't know Him, and how He connects with us, and that being in relationship is about connection. And then we've kind of gone into David a little bit, haven't we? And he's such an interesting subject to talk about.
Yeah, well, David is a ancestor of Jesus, so it's not completely off topic. He is, and some of the aspects of who David is are kind of prophetic indications of who Jesus is. So David was a king of Israel, and Jesus is king. And so we talked about how David used to worship when he was young, and you think of somebody who worships God being sort of priestly, and so Jesus is also got that priestly aspect to it. David was a prophet. He spoke some words, and they came to fruition later on. Mm. God told him that it was his son Solomon who was to build the temple. He talked about my Lord, and we sort of read those as pointing forward to Jesus. So he was a prophet, and Jesus, his descendant, was also a prophet. And so we were talking earlier about how some things in the Old Testament, the first part of the Bible, the older part, actually they point forward to Jesus. So your question of who is Jesus, actually some people don't understand the Old Testament. They think that there's lots of war and stuff, and so they just think that God's out to get people and he's an angry God. But actually, if you look a little bit closer, there are glimpses of who Jesus is through every single book of the Bible. Mm. And so before, I was just thinking about that and remembered a YouTube clip that I watched years ago. And so we've searched it up, and it's a young boy. He's probably 8,
we're
9,
saying
10.
I think he's 8 or 9 at the most. This is one little, he's a little guy.
Yeah. And
on a big stage, by the way.
And so he speaks through who Jesus is in every book of the Bible. And so we thought things that we're talking about, who is Jesus? It would be really appropriate to play this for you guys. So I'm just going to hold my phone up to the microphone and see how we go with this.
In Genesis, Jesus Christ is the seed of the woman. In Exodus, he is the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he is our high priest. In Numbers, he is the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he is the prophet like unto Moses. In Joshua, he is the captain of our salvation. In Judges, he is our judge and lawgiver. In Ruth, he is our kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he is our trusted prophet. In Kings and Chronicles, he is our reigning king. In Ezra, he is the rebuilder of the broken down walls of human life. In Esther, he is our Mordecai. In Job, he is our ever-living redeemer. In Psalms, he is our shepherd. In Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, he is our wisdom. In Song of Solomon, he's our loving bridegroom. In Isaiah, he's the Prince of Peace. Jeremiah, he's our righteous branch. In Lamentations, he's our weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, he's the wonderful four-faced man. In Daniel, he's the fourth man in life's fiery furnace. In Hosea, he's the faithful husband forever married to the backslider. In Joel, he's the baptizer with the Holy Ghost and fire. In Amos, he's our burden bearer. In Obadiah, he's mighty to save. In Jonah, he's our great foreign missionary. In Micah, he's the messenger of beautiful feet. In Nahum, he's the avenger of God's elect. In Habakkuk, he's God's evangelist crying, revive thy works in the midst of the years. In Zephaniah, he's our savior. In Haggai, he's the restorer of God's lost heritage. In Zechariah, he's the fountain opened up in the house of David for sin and uncleanliness. And in Malachi, he's the son of righteousness, rising with healing in his wings. In Matthew, he's the king of the Jews. In Mark, he's the servant. In Luke, he's the son of man, feeling what you feel. In John, he's the son of God. In Acts, he's the savior of the world. In Romans, he's the righteousness of God. In 1 Corinthians, he's the rock, God is your. In 2 Corinthians, he is the triumphant one, giving victory. In Galatians, he is your liberty. He set you free. In Ephesians, he is the head of the church. In Philippians, he is your joy. In Colossians, he is your completeness. In 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he is your hope. In 1 Timothy, he is your faith. In 2 Timothy, he is your stability. In Philemon, he is your benefactor. In Titus, he is truth. In Hebrews, he is your perfection. In James, he is the power. In 1 Peter, he is your example. In 2 Peter, he is your purity. In 1 John, he is your life. In 2 John, he is your pattern. In 3 John, he is your motivation. In Jude, he is the foundation of your faith. In Revelation, he is your coming king. He is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He is the keeper of creation and the creator of all. He is the architect of the universe and the manager of all time. He always was, he always is, and he always will be. Unchanged, undefeated, and never undone. He was bruised and brought healing. He was pierced and eased pain. He was persecuted and brought freedom. He was dead and brought life. He is risen and brings power. He reigns and brings peace. The world can't understand him. The armies can't defeat him. Schools can't explain him, and the leaders can't ignore him. Herod couldn't kill him. Pharisees couldn't confuse him. People couldn't hold him. Nero couldn't crush him. Hitler couldn't silence him. New Age can't replace him, and Oprah can't explain him away. He is life, love, longevity, and more. He is goodness, kindness, gentleness, and God. He is holy, righteous, mighty, powerful, pure. His ways are right. His word is eternal. His will is unchanging, and his mind is on me. He is my redeemer. He is my savior. He is my guide. He is my peace. He is my joy. He is my comfort. He is my Lord, and he rules my life.
Oh, Lord, thank you for the little children. That, to me, is so powerful. You can watch that on YouTube. That little boy was not reading from anything. This is about relationship. That little guy's got relationship. Yeah, it fills my heart.
That was powerful. I'm just like, wow.
It's so cool and it's so real. And, yeah, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Yeah, well, we really enjoyed our show together today, eh, Denise? It's been really good unpacking. Yeah, who is Jesus anyway? So hopefully, you know, at the end of this, it's got you maybe thinking about who Jesus is, bringing you to a point of relationship, maybe, questioning that for yourself. What is my spirit, this thing I was born with that makes me more than human? Yet to be discovered. So if you're like me and Denise, you're on a faith journey, you might want to join us on Sunday at Raglan Area School, 10 a.m. Surfside Church. We've got Pastor Roger speaking. I think he's talking on Romans. It's going to be awesome. We've got an amazing worship team, live worship. You know, if you want to feel the presence of God, the way to do that's in community, it's in relationship. If you want to feel that sense of what that spirit is, yeah, I encourage you to join us on Sunday at 10 a.m. Raglan Area School. We will be there, won't we, Denise? Are you going to be there?
Oh, I'm actually not going to be there.
Yes, I didn't think you were going to be there. But she's going away, not because she. Yeah, where are you going?
I'm going down to Fielding.
Oh, she's going down after this too. Like, it's a long drive. You keep safe on those roads out there.
I shall do.
Yeah, many blessings to you all. And we will be here next Friday at 12. Yep, got that right. And we might unpack more about who is Jesus anyway, or we may be off on a different tangent. Who knows? But until then, stay safe, look after each other, be kind and gentle to self and others, and know that you are loved.
I'm not a warrior, I'm too afraid to lose. I feel unqualified for what you're calling me to. Lord, with your strength, I got no excuse. 'Cause broken people are exactly who you use. So give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness. Give me a heart like David, Lord, be my defense. So I can face my giants with confidence. You took a shepherd boy and made him a king. So I'm gonna trust you and give you everything. I'll be a conqueror, 'cause you fight for me. I'll be a champion, claiming your victory. So give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness. Give me a heart like David, Lord, be my defense. So I can face my giants with confidence. I'm gonna sing and shout and shake the wall. Won't stop until I see them fall. I'm gonna stand up, step back when you call. Jesus, Jesus, I'm gonna sing and shout and shake the walls. Won't stop until I see them fall. I'm gonna stand up, step out when you call. Jesus, give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness. Give me a heart like David, Lord, be my defense. So I can face my giants with confidence. Yeah! Give me faith like Daniel in the lion's den. Give me hope like Moses in the wilderness. Give me a heart. My giants with confidence.